Hello and welcome to episode 94 of Linux After Dark. I'm Joe.
I'm Chris.
I'm Gary.
And I'm May.
Welcome back all. In the past on Late Night Linux, we've done what if questions, such as what if IBM hadn't bought Red Hat? And the most recent one I think was, what if Google hadn't come around in the 90s? What would things look like now? I thought we could kind of steal that, but with a twist. What do you wish had happened in the Linux and open source world?
I wish that any open source, like alternative mobile operating system had actually been successful. And I don't mean, I guess, successful on the major consumer device level, but just successful enough to sustain itself well and not have a massive app gap, which maybe means it has to be a massive consumer thing. We can debate that.
What about Sailfish OS?
Ooh.
It's not properly open source, is it? It's the bottom line.
It's not. A lot of it is. I mean, it is a portable kind of thing, kind of like what I was working on, but I don't know.
I think the problem is the adoption curve for me. You have to be careful about which hardware you buy. You have to buy a license for it. You can't really dip your toes as far as I can feel. I had a Xiaomi phone that I tried it on, and I spoke to Adam Pig, who I know is probably listening. He ported Sailfish to that device, but he said, you know, it's not officially supported. But yeah, you have to buy a specific Sony phone. You really have to commit to it. And people have, and they happily daily drive it, but it's not quite the same thing. And I'm totally with you, May. I would love there to be, because we are the 1% of desktop operating systems. All right, make it 3, make it 4, whatever you want, but it's an incredible minority. Just to have something that, yes, with a bit of effort, you can run as a daily driving, fairly widely installable operating system on mobile devices. I'm totally with you. I wish that had happened. It wouldn't need to be completely taking on the two big boys, but yeah. Oh, it's very annoying.
That's kind of the problem, though, is that if you aren't directly taking on Android and iOS, people don't want to carry it around every day, and people don't want to carry a second phone around or have that one device that they only use sometimes. I mean, we've seen so many projects of the second phone, the one that you take out when you don't actually want to take your phone out, and that doesn't really even work either. You know, I'm thinking like the Light phone there, which has its staunch advocates, but I don't know, it just kind of feels like something that most people buy, use maybe once, twice a month, and then put in a drawer for the rest of time.
I think the difficulty is that you can't even run the source code of Android anymore properly and use the device. That's the problem. It's the app ecosystem and all the safety net things, which we've covered so many times before. But I really wish we still had a way to swim against the tide. And I know we covered Postmarket OS recently, and it's worth stressing again, like, it's very impressive. And we didn't stretch its legs because we didn't have the ideal devices that would be supported by it. So I'm not saying the effort's not there, but I just wish something had just a little bit more momentum behind it.
And let me be clear, I'm happy that the community projects work and that there are small teams of developers who are paid to work on these things. But I don't know, I guess I always want more. And personally, I'd like if people could be earning really nice full-time wages working on this kind of stuff. I mean, it's important that humanity left its thinking to the machines, whatever thing, but there's just not a lot of momentum monetarily behind any of it.
Well, I'm going to go to bat for Lineage here. I think that in a pinch, I could get an old Pixel for, say, 100 quid, like maybe like a 4 or a 5, maybe 150. And I could put Lineage on it without Google Apps, and I could go out for, say, a night out, going to meet a friend at a pub or something, using a browser and, you know, other apps from F-Droid, and then come home again. I feel like I could do that.
But that's for like 4 or 5 hours.
Yes.
That's not a viable replacement for your actual phone, right?
No, but it's a viable replacement for my phone when I don't want to take my expensive folding phone out to have it stolen.
But then you're in that same situation as the light phone, right? Where you'll do that a few times and then your expensive folding phone will devalue to a point where you do feel comfortable taking it out and it will end up in a drawer.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I guess what I'm really talking about isn't the alternative Android distributions either. I'm talking about something that is a third party to Android and iOS. I mean, I guess Sailfish, as far as commercially supported things go, it's Sailfish. And then second runner-up, I think, is still Ubuntu Touch. But, you know, small team, doing the best they can. Appreciate them every day.
Well, that probably leads on to my thing that I wish had happened, which was convergence. Because I sit here now having had to bring two phones, two laptops, and an incredibly heavy bag at the end of it, all because convergence doesn't exist and I need to record this podcast while I'm away. I feel like it's a real shame that we didn't get further down that dream of I plug a USB-C cable into my phone and have something approaching a usable desktop. And I know that on the proprietary side, the Android desktop thing is coming, but it's a bit crap. And Dex exists, but again, it's a bit crap and I'm not buying a Samsung phone. So I just wish that we'd gotten to a point where something like Mario OS was way further down the line and I could just plug my phone in and have some kind of LXC container running a Linux desktop that I could just use and then have a usable Android phone in my pocket as well.
Yeah, Mario OS, that really was the dream. I had it on my Nexus 5, and for people who don't remember it, it was basically AOSP as the phone, but the second you plugged it into a screen, it launched a proper Debian container, and you had Debian with XFCE, a proper Linux desktop. I mean, that is just the dream.
Yeah, and for recording this, right, that would be perfect, because I could just plug in a USB-C dongle, connect my phone to the hotel TV, plug in a microphone, hit record in Audacity, and by and large, do the things I needed to do without having to carry an extra 15-inch laptop around like I currently do.
Yeah, if the phone was powerful enough and if the software had developed, if Mario OS had continued to develop and support modern phones as they have iterated, then yeah, on a modern, say, Pixel 7 or 8, it would be an amazing, amazing experience.
So have you all been watching Cathode Ray Dude's Quick Start series?
No.
No.
All right. So in episode 8, he covered the Transformer book Trio, which was an extremely unique device in ASUS's Transformer book line where, I mean, we know the Transformer book line at this point, right? It's a tablet that you can lift off of the laptop base and then use the tablet independently.
You have a Qi one, right? Which is just tablet and keyboard. Is that right?
Pretty much. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this one specific model of Trio, they put an Android tablet in the screen and a Windows computer in the base, and they can both be separated and continue working independently from each other.
Yeah, I remember that.
That sounds like the thing that you want.
Well, that's sort of halfway there, right? Because I still then have to carry an 11-inch tablet or whatever in the bag. What I really want to do is take the work laptop, the work phone, and then my personal phone is everything else that I need, and I can just plug it into the hotel TV.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in an ideal world, there'd be no wires involved. You could do it just via Bluetooth or some wireless protocol, not Bluetooth, probably Wi-Fi, realistically.
Within Ubuntu Touch, there has been a lot of development on Miracast stuff, and it's still got a bit of lag, of course, but it is really cool to have just everything wireless.
Okay, this episode is sponsored by people who support us with PayPal and Patreon. Go to linuxafterdark.net/support for details of how you can support us too. Patreon supporters have the option to listen to episodes without ads like this. And it's not just this show. There's Late Night Linux for news, discoveries, audience input, and misanthropy. 2.5 Admins about system administration. Linux Matters for upbeat, family-friendly adventures. Linux Dev Time about developing with and for Linux. Hybrid Cloud Show for everything private and public cloud, and ask the hosts for off-topic questions from you. You can even get some episodes a bit early. We've got a lot going on, and it's only possible because of the people who support us. So if you like what we do and can afford it, it would be great if you could support us too at linuxafterdark.net/support. Right, you're going to have to bear with me for mine. I wish that Snaps had won. Controversial thing to wish for, I know. But let me explain. I wish that Snaps had won insofar as Canonical had opened the back end so anyone could run their own Snap store. I mean, you kind of could technically, but I wish it was properly open. And I wish that Shuttleworth's dream of Snaps being ubiquitous had come to fruition, because for all their ills, I'm kind of used to them and I kind of prefer them to Flatpak because they are better at CLI stuff than Flatpak. And you've got CLI and GUI apps. And I suppose I'm just entrenched in the Ubuntu ecosystem to the point where I prefer using them to Flatpak.
The difficulty for me is that I'm completely the polar opposite to you. I can see where you're coming from. The trick here is that unified packaging system kind of doesn't work with the ecosystem we live in, because a huge attraction for a large number of users is the ability to say, that shit, I'm going to do something else. And that's the problem. That's why, even though all of these things that we could bring up now, their main goal is to make things simpler, always people are going to go, I hate that, I'm going to do this instead. Now, obviously, Snap and Flatpak have gained momentum because they have positives. But for me, the biggest problem with Snaps is that the feedback of slow startup was not addressed quickly enough.
That's a while ago now.
Yeah. And sure, they can fix it all they want now, but there's only so long when I've tried an alternative. Because for me, Flatpak is not perfect. Obviously, updating them is annoying, but I update them on my terms. And once they're updated, they launch as quickly as binary applications that I've installed in a more traditional way. Not so for Snaps for so long that I'd had enough. And also, and yeah, you can fight me on this. If I say, use the apt package manager to install a deb, you install a fucking deb. You don't hijack it for another package manager. If I go into a fish and chip shop and order chips, don't give me mashed potatoes. They're still potatoes, but they're not chips.
Wow.
See, I think I'm inclined to agree with you, Chris, because I think a lot of these problems were either not dealt with very quickly or they were pushed back on rather than earnestly listening to user feedback and working quickly and iteratively on that feedback. It just felt like the response at the time, from so far as I can recall, was, yeah, well, that's how it works, or yeah, we designed it that way, rather than what are the problems you have? How can we help overcome them? Which is traditionally what we're more used to, I suppose, in free software.
Right. And so I wish that that had gone differently, is what I'm trying to say here. I'm not trying to say I wish they'd won as is. I wish that they had been good enough, and I wish that Canonical had been responsive enough and fixed the issues that people had with them, like this smart card problem, which last I heard is still a problem, which affects people in various countries where they can't use the browser effectively because it doesn't support these smart card things. I wish all that had been fixed and that we wouldn't have needed Flatpak to be a success and to become sort of the de facto standard for GUI apps in the containerized fashion.
But it was also, again, not solving a problem that people had. People had ways to package up a single binary or a single blob for command line applications that already existed. And I think maybe that's where some of this came from, right? Is that it wasn't working back from a problem the community perceived that they had. It just appeared one day and everyone hated it and the response was really abrasive.
I think, to play devil's advocate though, some of the justifications have sound reasoning in the LTS world. And this is where it becomes thorny, because you've got a massive continuum here of what people think. There are some people in quite prominent positions in the community that think that LTS distributions should not exist. They are fundamentally making their lives as maintainers incredibly hard, because their development workstation, everything is fine, and then they have to try and spread the load of support across a huge amount of libraries. And one of the things that Canonical put forward was the Chromium snap. That was one of the first ones, if I remember correctly. And they said, we don't want to have to package across all the supported LTSs. This streamlines development. I can kind of get on board with that. But as I said to you in the chat, one of the difficult decisions that they made is to go for Squash FS. So unpacking the applications is like a terribly slow decompression of a zip file. And yes, again, email all you like. I'm sure Firefox is fixed and other applications are fixed, but fundamentally, Squash FS is going to have that problem. And it's great for live booting a distro from fast read media, but it's the tooling that they've chosen for when I open an application, it shouldn't degrade the user experience. And that's where it started to lose me. The other thing is, it is this desire to make things simpler. And I think even if they'd done everything right, there would still be Nix, DistroBox, compiling from source, binary, God, app image for all of its flaws. There are still people that die on that hill, despite all of the problems that there are with those. So fundamentally, people don't want uniformity. They like to change. It's like the cool album. Everyone should listen to this album. Well, I'm not going to now. I'm not going to listen to that album because everyone's told me I should.
I love how this conversation keeps vacillating between the technical arguments and the social arguments, and neither side's actually really hitting anything.
I think I'm used to playing Lego with my system, and I don't like it when people give me the castle. Give me the pieces of the castle, and maybe I won't build the ramparts in the way that you said I should, but it doesn't fall over, so I don't mind.
Chris, what about you then? What do you wish had happened?
So this is really a difficult one because I think nostalgia clouds your view, doesn't it? Because as you well know, my favorite computer of all time is the Amiga. And in some moments, I wish that Commodore hadn't just completely ballsed it up in the 90s. Now, let's be clear, Amiga OS and Amiga is not fully FOSS, but there's something about it, and I'm sure Graham would back me up here. It is like the forefather to, it's the gateway drug for a lot of people of our generation and older for getting into FOSS. And I sometimes really wish that it had just lasted a little bit longer, but there was fundamentally issues with the chipset. Apple started to do it better. And the IBM PC compatible was a lot more versatile in terms of making hardware cheaper and more generally available.
Well, and also IBM compatible PCs weren't just all made by one company. It wasn't that vertical integration that we know from Apple. But my understanding from the Amiga side of things is no one else was making the hardware, were they?
No, that's it. I mean, and I don't know the history of the really low-level hardware stuff enough. And it was a series of bad financial decisions, bullshit financial decisions that ultimately cost them. And there's always a hubris moment where it's the same with Nokia. When Nokia were presented with the idea of the touchscreen smartphone, they absolutely rubbished it. And when you're in a position of rising dominance, it's very easy to think you're always going to be the best at what you're doing, as well as there was some takeovers within Commodore and things like that. But I do think it's partly clouded with nostalgia because it was so much fun and excitement to play with the Amiga, to poke around with Workbench. And I was watching an old Fatboy Slim video the other day, and a lot of the early demos for some of his most famous songs are still on an Amiga. Huh. And he loads them up and they're interviewing him. And then you realize he hasn't cleared some of the samples in some of the songs that he's used and things like that. And so the creative legs that stretch out go really far. And I think part of it as well is that kind of cool, I use the word cool loosely, but cool music, video, art nerds, like Andy Warhol was part of some of the promotional campaigns for the Amiga. There was just this weird angle that they were coming at things. And I kind of wish that that could have carried on a bit before we descended into beige boxes.
Beige boxes designed for running spreadsheets.
Mm.
I think you've just got old man nostalgia, Chris.
Yeah, because ultimately everything fails for a reason, right? You have to sweep in the new era, but I'm sure every generation is right. I think you're probably right, Joe. I mean, we have young people as part of the hosts, so please go ahead. But do young people get as nostalgic about devices, or has it just become homogenized? So you think, oh yeah, that was what I used when I was a teenager, but I don't think of it fondly.
I think only for stuff that was different from what the norm is now. Like May and I probably both get nostalgic for some of the PowerPC Macs that we used as kids, but that's just because they are of a different era. There is nothing like that anymore.
And you've also got the usual gamut of gaming hardware. You know, I don't have a setup of multiple retro gaming consoles for nothing, after all. But that in itself is also a, you know, this packaged platform that in its day was supposed to be its thing that no one touched. So I don't know if it's really all that similar.
Oh my God, Nintendo 64.
Oh my God.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's where it's gone, because I think you're probably right. The NES ushered that era in, but it was really the SNES, Mega Drive, PlayStation era beyond, where it's shelves full of consoles, isn't it? Rather than one or two focal devices, whether that's the Amiga ST era or the early IBM PC compatibles, where there were a few front-running names around. And that's the direction it's gone in. And now maybe, yeah, we're misty-eyed for unique smartphones and things like that, or not even smartphones, pre-smartphones. The Sony Ericssons that twist round in a weird central flip hinge, or the very thin flip phones. It's just disappeared.
I'm always nostalgic for my QWERTY sliders.
Unfortunately, they just don't work now. The thing with nostalgia for a lot of people is actually having something that works or functions. But if you get an old phone, the networks for it are down.
You can install emulators on it, though. You can repurpose old stuff, but you can't use it. Whereas I suppose an old Amiga, you can still play the games and stuff.
That's it. It becomes a labor of love. You load it up and it's a snapshot in time. Whereas these more modern devices, I think you're right, mate, there's a certain back end that's required means you can use them in any kind of meaningful way.
So May hoped that smartphones would run proper Linux, and they didn't. Gary hoped for convergence, which has sort of happened and just failed. I wanted everyone's least favorite package manager to win. And you wanted computers to stay old and shit, essentially.
Well, I mean, we are going to get left behind while everyone runs off with ARM. As we always talk about, we will be running the old shit x86 computers while we can still boot an alternative OS on them successfully with all the hardware working. So maybe I will get my wish in some kind of weird way.
Have we just accidentally become Linux Luddites again? Is that what's happened?
I think so. I think that's basically what our new shtick is, yes. Right, well, we'd better get out of here then. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, but until then, I've been Joe.
I've been Chris.
I've been Gary.
And I've been May.
See you later.